tonight, I'm going to introduce the eighth of the 10 most excellent precepts for surviving the flood and arriving at the other shore. And I'm going to review them by reviewing the review that we did last week. This is a review of the first seven. The first three, generosity, decency, and renunciation, I suggested that they were all mind states or ways of being that we can develop by acting accordingly, even if we don't feel generous or decent, or if we haven't renounced what we need to renounce, we can still act like it. And by acting like it, that will develop the inner inner sense of that, the inner state, and that state will manifest in spontaneous acts of generosity, decency, and renunciation, which, in addition to our intentional acts, will further develop the states inside. So it's this wonderful upward spiral. And I think I pointed out, and if I didn't, I'll point out now, that those three, first three of the practices address the causes of suffering, right? The causes of suffering, as we know by now, are clinging, aversion, and ignorance, right? So generosity works against clinging or grasping, and decency works against aversion, because you have to be decent to the people that you might feel aversive to. And renunciation is renouncing that which causes suffering, which is clinging and aversion. So it's directly addressing those two. And that causes the ignorance or the delusion to start to crumble. And so those three things, as we work on this cycle with them, begin to create wisdom. Which is what? Wisdom is seeing for yourself, knowing for yourself from experience that suffering is caused by grasping, aversion, and delusion. We use these first three to come to understand in an experiential way the truth of suffering, and then that is wisdom. Once we start understanding it, we start having wisdom, and then we have wisdom, and so that feeds into the cycle. And so it's all this, what do you call it, a positive feedback loop. So then we have wisdom, and we notice that we're tasting the benefits of participating in this cycle. And so that gives us motivation to put more effort into the practice, which we do with more understanding. So we're putting our effort in wisely into things that are beneficial to the practice. And intentional beneficial effort is diligence, which is fifth of the practices. Patience and diligence working together just make this cycle speed up. So now we're becoming even more generous and even more decent and even more renunciative, is that a word, of the things that cause suffering. And so then we're developing our wisdom. And as our wisdom is developing, we start noticing moments of actually living out of that wisdom, sort of like the wisdom is acting on our behalf, and we start to understand that there's a possibility of abiding in wisdom as a way of being instead of just knowing the truth. We are actually living in the truth, and that's the seventh practice of fully trueness. So that was a cycle that I went over earlier. Just this wonderful positive feedback. The more you do, the more it comes naturally, and the more it comes naturally, the more you do it. And that seems like a really nice sort of self-contained, self-sustaining positive growth cycle. So do we really need anything else after that? There's three more practices, but it seems like, you know, this is pretty good. We're just more and more living in the truth. Well, we do need something else. And the next thing that we need is standing firm, which is the eighth of the 10 practices. So standing firm is often called resolution or resolve or determination, which are both good words, but to me it just sounds like New Year's resolutions that I don't keep. Determination sounds like effort. Of course, I went back to the Pali, and what I discovered is that really this standing firm is like this picture that I passed around. For our listeners who cannot see the picture, this is a picture of me standing under the arch, the iconic arch from Arches National Monument, and I'm about an inch tall. Well, not even that. And so standing firm is like the arch, all right? It's strong and it's secure, and it's not separate from the rock that it was created out of. It's just what it is. It's not doing security and steadfastness. It just is a rock. Now, of course, everything changes, so yes, the rock is eroding, and it's possible in time that it may fall, but it's a whole lot more secure and strong than that little half-inch me underneath, right? And at the time, as I was standing there, I was feeling confident and inspired and resolute and determined. And that's great. That's what we've been talking about all along, the first seven of the practices. And there is nothing whatsoever inadequate about that. It's really good that that's how I was there. But you still can't really deny that if the winds came up and the rain, I would be in danger of being swept off that cliff, and the arch would probably stay there. So there's a difference between my confidence and my determination and my all of that and the standing firm that we're now being introduced to. So far in the first seven of these practices, we've been exploring, you know, what is it like to be generous if we don't feel generous, or to be patient? Do I really feel strongly enough to put effort in? And if I do, what's the benefit of that? So, you know, we're discovering, we're trying it, and we may be, I don't know about you, but I've been enjoying it and learning and finding benefit, finding challenges, but finding benefit. But there comes a point where the exploration turns into a commitment. And that's a turning point that is part of the practice. It may not be something that you've come to, or it may be something that has been with you for years, but it's part of the practice to come to this turning point. And that turning point is that you get this critical mass of the experiential knowledge, you know, the knowing in your gut through your experience, that you realize that this path is worth your effort and that you can trust it and that this is a way to become free from suffering, to use those classic words. This is a worthwhile and effective path. And there comes a point when you just know that this is what you're going to do. You want to stick with this. You know, come hell or high water, you know that this is the direction you want to go. Now, this is not a decision or a commitment that one makes lightly, and it's not something that you do because you should or you need to or it's good for you. So I'm not here saying everyone needs to make that commitment. It's something that it's like the commitment discovers itself. You just how can I put it? It's not something that you think about and you think, yeah, I think I want to, you know, join the church or whatever. It's after a time you realize that, yeah, this is my path. And so this realization is there. And in a way, the realization is the commitment. And that's it, you know, you've set your path. It's important when that happens that you are conscious and intentional about making that commitment. Because if you aren't, then when things go wrong, which they will sooner or later, you're not going to stick with it. But if you make an intentional, conscious commitment to yourself, then that is your reassurance when you start to doubt later. Now, I just said this. I want to say it again because I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstood. This is not something that you do because you should or because someone tells you to or because you think it'll be good for you. And it's not something you have to decide, is it time? It's something that you will know. If you are aware of yourself and honest with yourself, you'll know. And until then, don't worry about it. And it's not like you're graduating into real spiritual life or something. It's just something that happens at some point. And when it happens, when you know that this is what you're going to be doing, then you want to be real clear with yourself that that's what you're doing. So I don't want to sound pushy or scary or heavy, but at the same time, if we're really going to follow this path to the conclusion of learning how to not be caught up in our own suffering, there is going to be some serious commitment involved at some point.
Can you talk a little bit more what commitment? I mean, what does that involve? Like, how does it change? So you said you just sense when it's time for that commitment or when you feel so commitment in what way? Like, how does it differ from the path you were on before?
It differs. The difference is being this rock instead of this person. So before, the closest I think we've come to it is the diligence and discipline and, right effort. And we're doing that, hopefully, sort of all the time. But it's a difference between if everything caves in or if you start having a lot of doubts, are you going to say, you know, this isn't working after all. I'm going to try something else. Or is it, this really doesn't look like it's working, but at one point I knew that it was the right thing to do, and I'm going to trust that, and I'm going to stick with it. So it's a...
So stand fast in a moment of doubt?
Yeah. Okay. It's... There's quote that I don't have because I'm going to give it to you on Saturday. But it essentially says that you have to be like the rock, that the winds and the rains come up and, you know, you've got a hurricane around you, but you just stand firm. So your life totally turns to crap. And you've been doing this practice, and now it's just really hard to do it, and you're not seeing that it's working, and so maybe this isn't the thing to do after all. And so you just give it up, which is different from sort of losing your discipline and thinking, I got to get back to it. I got to do this. I know it's, you know, I want to do this. It's the standing firm in the face of the worst that life can throw at you. That this is what you've decided to do, and you trust this practice. You trust that just because things are falling apart doesn't mean the practice is no longer trustworthy. So maybe it's a matter of trust. Maybe that's a good way to put it. You come to trust so firmly that it's you're not convincing yourself that this is something you should do. And on the surface, yeah, there's often going to be I should be sitting, but you deep down you know that the practice is effective. Does that help? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people will make a formal public commitment. I did.
How do you make a public commitment?
Whatever works for you. I mean, for me, I did a Buddhist ceremony, which is the taking refuge ceremony. And I did it in a retreat, so there's a crowd of people around that knew me, so I was sort of saying, look, guys, I need your help to, or by telling you I'm doing this, that's going to give me the reminder that I made this commitment. But, you know, it doesn't have to be Buddhist. That was just what I did. You could just throw a party and bring all your meditating friends around and say, look, I want to do this seriously, and let's all meditate for 5 minutes. And for other people, doing something public is sort of unmotivating. You know, so you got to do what's good for you. Maybe you want to do something privately. Make your own little ritual, or not even that. Just write something down. But you want to be conscious and clear, and you know, maybe have something, a reminder somewhere, so that when you need it, you can look at it and say, oh yeah, this is worthwhile. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. I think actually I might be almost done here. Yeah, I just have a couple of comments about taking action. When you know that it's time, you know, when you know that when this commitment has realized itself, then you can do something like we just discussed or whatever you want to do for yourself. If you haven't had that sense yet, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything, because we can still cultivate the soil. We can still do things to train our resolve and to, you know, be preparing and growing that resolve. What other word to use? That standing firmness. And I'll be talking about that at the retreat.